So yeah, I think this episode's been, in some ways, a bit of a long time coming because, because we've been doing this podcast now, I mean, forever, but the current version where we watch old TV, probably like 5 years, and I feel like Wojak has come up more often than most things where like you'll say, oh, this reminds me of that type of thing, and Wojak, just the name comes up a lot because it's one of those names, I've heard of it, but I never knew what it was. Kind of like, I mean, I don't know, it's earlier, but like with the Beachcombers, it's like I know the name, the Beachcombers, but I didn't really know what it is. Wojak is similar, just one of these Canadian shows that's before my time that passed me by a little bit. But I assume because it just keeps sort of coming up, you must have some fond memories, I'm guessing, on some level of Wojak.
Oh, I love Wojak. Wojak is very—it's very Canadian flavor. There's no way it could have been done anywhere else. Well, it could have been, but I heard this morning on the radio about Schitt's Creek and why it was done in Canada. How they felt about it. They felt that there would have been too many controls of American TV to be able to produce the quality show that they did. And I thought about Wojak as a result of that. And I think that that is why Wojak has such more content, more depth. It is downright reality. Some of it's pretty hard to take. It deals with issues that are very realistic and probably such a success in Canada because there wouldn't have been those television producer controls on it. BoJack, excellent, excellent series that ran in Canada for a large number of years.
Well, actually, I think it may be one of those things because I did a little research. Maybe with reruns and stuff, it may have seemed like it ran for a long time, but it actually didn't. Because, I mean, we'll get into it later, but that's like the other side of Canada where I'm sure what you're saying is true, but the money's not there in Canada. So they actually only had 2 seasons of BoJack.
Oh,
There's
really?
only 20 episodes, and then John Vernon left for America because CBC, well, I'll get into it after. So yeah, finally, time to watch this. And then what I thought was cool in my shallow way is just recently I was watching Killer Clowns from Outer Space with my friend Ray. And it's one of my favorite movies from when I was younger. And I watched it again now as a grown-ass man. And it's still great. Like it's just, obviously it's silly with a name like that. But for a like late 80s horror movie about, it's got all this stuff. Like their spaceship looks like a circus tent and they feed people poison cotton candy, all this dumb stuff. But there's one guy in this movie that is the best. He's just awesome. He's my favorite character, hands down. And I was saying to Ray, like, man, that guy's awesome. I wish he was in this movie more. Like, what else is he in? We should watch more of him. And it was John Vernon. And he was in Dirty Harry and Animal House, whatever. And so to see with Wojak, when I was looking it up, I'm like, oh, that's that guy. That's that guy. So let me just show you a quick clip from Killer Clowns from Outer Space, just to show you, this is a little later in his career. It was the late 80s, but just how great he is. Like in this stupid movie, he just is like the best. Notice too, in this little clip I'm going to play, he almost looks at the camera at the end. Like he has this little smirk on his face, like he knows what he just said is funny.
One Baker Five. Kurt, do you read me? Over.
One Baker Five, this is Mooney speaking. I was a little worried about you. I thought the big bad clowns got a hold of you. Over.
Mooney, I want you to listen to me and don't say anything. I want you to call the state police and get help. There are clowns and they are killing people. Over.
Okay, let me get this straight. You say there are clowns and you've seen them. Okay, Dave, that's it. Screw you and your college flunkies. I've had enough of this from you and from everyone else. I know what you guys are trying to do. Break me down, drive me out of the force. Well, it's going to take a hell of a lot more than a lame prank like this to get Curtis Mooney to throw in his badge. So fuck you. Over.
Oh, Mooney, shit. This is an emergency. Mooney! He cut me off. Son of a bitch, cut me off.
I love how he just kind of has that little look, not quite at the camera, but so fuck you. Over. But even just, yeah, that gravitas he has to his voice. And like in this silly ass movie, like you can almost, you can identify kind of with his situation of like, of course you're not going to believe there's killer clowns. So it is like, yeah, these young punk kids are just trying to get me to say something crazy so they'll have a reason to fire me or whatever. Like he's a surprisingly grounded character in this dumb movie. So that's my main knowledge of him, but he's
the best.
And when he
went to the States, like you see him in a lot of movies, and he's one of those guys that unless you knew him in the from the Canadian world of Wojak and other Canadian things that he was in, you probably wouldn't know his name. But he's one of those actors that you see again and again and again. You say, my God, that guy's good. I've seen him before. But who is he?
Right.
And you don't connect a name with the actor.
So, yeah, that also probably says more about me than anything, that's how I know him. But, he was great, though. He's probably great in everything. But, yeah, I got some basic Wojak facts, if you want me to lay out what I learned. Wojak is a Canadian dramatic television series aired on CBC from 1966 to 1968. It was arguably the first successful drama series on English-Canadian television, and it was the first TV series to regularly feature and focus on forensic pathology in the investigation of crime. So the thing, especially CSI, obviously is the biggest one of that, but this was, I guess, the first show to approach crime in that way. Wojak was noted for its issue-driven stories, exploring topics that had rarely been directly confronted in television drama to that time, whether in Canada or elsewhere. Episodes of Wojak deal frankly with abortion, homosexuality, drug addiction, systemic corporate and government corruption, negligence of the elderly, and other issues that were almost otherwise entirely completely absent from TV programming of the era. So yeah, that's just what you were saying, that, you know, again, because that's what it seemed like Marcus Welby was from its description. And then you actually see Marcus Welby and it's like, oh no, this show's stupid. Sorry, Marcus Welby.
Yeah, sorry, Marcus, but he had to have a nice, compact, happy little ending. You will find in Wojak, what I remember of them, they're not happy endings. They're just left wide open saying, you know what? We may be dealt with this situation, but we haven't resolved anything. Those problems are still out there, and they're big.
And apparently the show was inspired by the career of Dr. Morton Shulman. Do you know that name?
Sounds kind of familiar, but I can't really say I know it.
Yes, I won't go deep into the details, but he seemed like he had quite a life. He was a Canadian guy who started as a coroner, and then he made a bunch of money on the stock market and wrote a really famous book about the stock market. But I guess he still had his coroner government job, because then he called out the Canadian government on a bunch of medical practices that they were not adhering to or not following properly, and he got blackballed, but brought to light a bunch of stuff. And yeah, and then he went on to have like a talk show, like an investigative reporter type talk show. So quite a number of things Dr. Morton Shulman did in his life.
And that is Wojak. That's the premise, is that there's all kinds of red tape, government graft, and he tries to cut through it, but meets up with all these roadblocks all the way along with government interference, or you've got to tiptoe your way around this guy or you lose your job. But that's the basis of the stories, is that there are big problems in society, and when somebody does try to address them, they get knocked down at every turn.
Yeah, and it says also, oh, this is kind of interesting, unusually for the time, episodes were shot almost entirely on location using handheld cameras, giving the show a semi-documentary feel, which is definitely unusual. I mean, I think of that handheld look becoming popular in the 2000s, and this was 1966. The first season was filmed in black and white, and then season two from 1968 was shot in color. So I'm not sure which episode we have. I'll find out, but it is one of the black and white ones that I have. So here's where the Canadianness becomes a problem. Although it was one of the highest rated shows on Canadian television of its time, only 20 episodes of Wojak were made because series star Vernon was lured to Hollywood by the promise of more money and more consistent work than the CBC could offer. Even after Wojak's success, the CBC could not promise Vernon the show would return in 1969, as they had to wait for a year-end budget allocation. So Vernon only returned to the role one more time for a TV movie in 1992 called Wojak Out of the Fire. So, Canada just can't get out of its own way. Even when we have a hit, it's like, we got to make sure that we have enough money from the government to make another season.
Well, there's a show that is based on all the bureaucratic problems that you run into when you are trying to resolve some kind of an issue. And it sounds like the show got caught up in this exactly the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny, too. I mean, like, there's this guy, Matt Johnson, who as far as like stuff going on in Canada right now, he's like the best. He did this movie, The Dirties. He did the Blackberry movie. He does this thing called Nirvana, the band, the show that they're filming a movie right now. He's like of my approximate generation. The guy's a genius. He's the best thing happening in Canada. And I've seen interviews with him where he's still in Toronto and he still wants to be a Canadian filmmaker, but he said it's just a disaster of trying to get through funding because everything's so tied up in government stuff. So I feel like there's two sides of it. There's, like you were saying, that once you get a show going, Canada's going to let you do what you want and say what you want. But just to get a project off the ground, it's just like 100 times easier to just move to California.
Or to keep it going.
Yeah.
And when I say I thought that it ran for such a long time, I think that, well, obviously it didn't. It only ran for 2 years. But the shows have such depth to them that's why you feel you've watched them for a long time, because they're so thought-provoking. Whereas if you're watching something that's kind of a bit of fluff, usually you do end up watching those things for years. But there's really not much that you can look back on and say, that show was excellent. That really had a lot to say. That really made me think about things. But when you do get a show that does do that, yeah, because you go away and you think about it, you probably do think that you've watched much more of it than you did.
And in a funny way, it's sort of even just the Wikipedia entry for John Vernon. In some ways, this is just like this the classic story of any Canadian actor, even just with his born and died entries. Born in 1932 in Zahner, Saskatchewan. Died in 2005 in Los Angeles, California. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, like Canada just lacks that killer instinct that America has. Of like, if America had a show that was a big hit, they would make another one. There would be no question. And in Canada, it's like, I don't know. We got to wait and see what the budget looks like. Okay, see you later. I'm moving to California. I'm going to be in a bunch of movies. Keith's going to see me in Killer Clowns. You know, so long, Canada. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's just we're a small country population-wise and budget-wise, so it's not so weird for these things to happen, but it's disappointing when you hear stuff like that.
For a small country, we've had an amazing number of people who have become extremely famous actors.
Yeah,
as a result of the States. He's one of them.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Donald Sutherland.
William Shatner, Mike Myers,
yeah,
Jim Carrey.
Oh,
I mean, there's a ton, but they all went to America.
Yeah, they all went to America. But here were these guys from Canada who obviously were top-notch. And a lot of them had Shakespearean practices on the stage at Stratford and that sort of thing. But obviously these guys, yeah, they surfaced quickly to the top and were in any number of movies over the years.
Just not in Canada.
Yes, just not in Canada.
But the episode that I have...
Made in Canada, made in the USA.
The episode I have, for anyone who wants to watch along, I believe most of these are on YouTube. I don't think it's too hard to find. This is from the 1966 black and white season. It's called The Last Man in the World. So yeah, that's the episode of Wojek we're going to watch. Feel free to watch along with us or just wait until we're done and we'll tell you what we thought about it. This is our way. I'll have to put in a clip here of just John Vernon saying something from the episode because his voice is so good. Like, I was thinking, like, I'd love to have him read an audiobook. And it's like, ah, it's a shame he's passed away. But maybe now with AI, maybe somebody can make an AI voice of him. I want him to be the voice in your car that's like, ah, turn right up ahead here. You know, like, what couldn't his voice do?
Have him on your GPS.
Yeah, that'd be the best.
I'm sorry to trouble you, Dr. Wojcik. I'm Ed Gibson, remember?
Yes, I do.
Well, I received this summons to appear at the inquest tomorrow.
Yes.
Well, you know I'm not like those others. I just happened to tie one on that night, and, well, I have a wife and a family and a good business. I'm what you would call a respectable man. So I was wondering if there was anything we could do about this. I mean, would you consider tearing this summons up?
No.
Yes, but you don't understand. If anyone finds out that I was arrested, locked up like a common drunk, it'll hurt my business. I'm in church supplies, you see, and, well, you know what they're like.
No.
Oh, but for God's sake, man, I'll be ruined. I won't be able to get my foot in the door. Nobody will do business with me. I'll be ruined. Don't you care?
I'm sorry we can't invite you and Mr. Gibson. Good night.
But, lady, Mrs. Wojcik, please listen to me. I can't stand any bad publicity.
There's only one way you can get out of appearing at the inquest. Do you wear a belt?
So yeah, when is the last time that you saw Wojak? I never thought to ask at the start. Like, have you seen it recently?
Oh yeah, I saw it only about a year ago. I watched some shows on something.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering if this was going to be one of those like pulling back from like, oh yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time, or if you've seen it recently.
No, I've seen some. In that movie you talked about, the remake, or the movie that came out in the 1990s, I saw that.
Nice.
But in depth, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, night and day from, it's weird to even compare it to Marcus Welby, but I kept thinking about, what would Marcus Welby do in this world? Like, the whole tone is so much more real and down to earth. And I'm just thinking of, like, I don't know, Marcus Welby, like, well, here's a terrible advice on, I don't know.
Well, they wouldn't even address it, because this show jumped right in to, you knew right off that it was going to be the Indian issue from the 1960s. And it didn't just deal with the Indian issue. It dealt with the issue on the reserves, people who have no status because they don't fit under the Indian Act. It dealt with prostitution. It dealt with corruption in the police force. It dealt with people who would try to suck their way out of being involved in the law, like the fellow who was afraid he was going to lose his business completely, so he actually goes to the coroner and pleads to be excused from the investigation. Oh, God, there was probably more than that that it dealt with. But it really covered a whole range of issues that have never been resolved.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would say, not really a criticism, but I guess like the one reason I could see why somebody might not like it, is that it is no fun. Like, this show is a downer. It is so serious and so downbeat and so, like, man, the only kind of slight moment of levity in the whole thing really was the little moment where Wojak kind of is hanging out with his wife one night, you know, and even then she's mostly just talking about how stressed out he is.
But that's the beauty of the show. It deals with issues that are not funny, can't be fixed. You've got to face it head on and live with it.
Yeah, and like you were saying about with Marcus Welby, how it had to tie everything up in a bow and have a definitive, clean, nice, easy ending. And you did mention Wojak specifically as the type of show that doesn't do that, which is why I pulled it up for us to watch this week. But yeah, that's even more so than I expected. The literal episode ended at a point that I didn't expect it to end, where they got to the Inquisition about this native guy dying, and then the credits hit. Like, right. We didn't even see...
There is no resolution to that inquest. You don't know how it's going to end.
Yeah, because again, I mean, I guess maybe also... Probably it came a little later, but I'm so used to courtroom type shows also that, you know, that's the thing. Or I guess that's the CSI formula, right? Like, the first half is the investigation and the second half, or Law and Order more accurately, is the courtroom thing. And yeah, this one, that hadn't quite been an established trope yet where they just didn't. Because again, yeah, like there is no possible resolution that could satisfy you, quote unquote, because the guy's dead, he's not coming back.
And even if there was, if we heard the resolution to this one case, that does not resolve the real issues that they were dealing with. Those issues are still out there, and the next case that comes along could be entirely different. There's not like a one answer that fixes everything. So that's why they just ended it where they did, because they're saying to you, think about this. This is not the one and only case off the block. There's so many cases like this. There will be other cases like this. Who knows how they will be resolved?
One thing I was really impressed by, I'm kind of talking outside of school here because it is before my era. This is stuff I don't really know about. I just know about the evolution of TV, I guess. This made me think of, I read this book once called Everything Bad is Good for You, and it's about how pop culture is becoming more and more sophisticated, and that, you know, even if you're just watching TV shows and stuff, it doesn't mean you can't learn things from them or whatever. But the example I always remember from that show is they used police procedurals specifically. They used, like, in an old one, the plot would be, here's the A plot and there's a little B plot. And then by the time you get to like NYPD Blue, that's when TV was getting much more sophisticated. But if you break it down, it's still A, B, C, and D. There's more going on, but it's still quite linear and easy to follow. And then you get into like Breaking Bad nowadays, and it's like A, C, Z, X, Y. You know, it's really complicated. And that's what surprised me about this show, is that this show doesn't hold your hand at all. It keeps going back and forth to flashbacks to this native guy before he passes away, then to Wojak doing the investigation, and various other, all kinds of different characters and all kinds of different angles, and jumping through time without any narration, no things on screen, no weird effects, like, now we're going into the past, like nothing. They're just like, you have to follow this. You got to pay attention and you got to keep track of what's going on. Again, I don't know, just because we just watched Marcus Welby, let's just keep kicking Marcus Welby while he's down. But that show was from years after this, and it would never trust the audience to follow something this complicated. Like, that was legitimately complicated. Like, you really did have to focus and pay attention. And I'm just surprised, because I didn't expect a show from that era.
I'm sure there were probably a lot of people at the time when Wojak came out that probably didn't like it for that very reason. It doesn't dumb you down at all. Yeah, you do have to pay attention to that and be on your toes and following. Who's that? Why are they doing that? Oh, they've switched now. And remember, if that came out in 1966, well, I was 15 years old when I was watching it, and I loved it. So obviously, I was caught up in this thing of them showing me things that maybe when I don't remember, but probably when I started watching it, the first 10 minutes, I was probably like, what's happening here? Like, who are these people? But then once you clue into the format that they're using, it's quite an exciting show to watch. And it is so, well, it's thought-provoking. That had so much meat to it that probably when you would finish watching it, you'd go home, you'd go to bed. It was on in the evening. You'd go to bed and be just thinking about it all night long. Like, wow, those guys really nailed it. They really gave me something to be concerned about. And all those issues, like in this case, the native issue. Yeah, I remember in the 60s, there being a whole lot of talk about Indians and how second class they were. And this show just nailed it. And they didn't fool around at all with any of it. Like, they didn't soft soap it. They didn't try to make it seem like the white race was so understanding of these people. They weren't. They were horrible to them. And yet, get back to the reserve. Well, this guy couldn't get back to the reserve. He wasn't tied into a reserve. It was so educational, too. Like, there are people who feel that Native people they've got everything because they live in a reserve. But no, they don't. That's a hell of a life. And if you are somebody that's a lost man, they called him the last man, but he's like a lost man. He has no ties to anything. His parents are dead. He's not tied into a reserve. He doesn't know who his father is. His mother died when he was a kid. So he can't even get the benefits that Indian Affairs would have given him if he was a reserve person. He has nothing. He has nobody to fall back on. And he's got a bunch of, he's living in a white world that is so racist. But that was life. And it's actually life today. All these years later, it hasn't changed that much.
Yeah, I thought one of the like neat parts, again, where it's like quite a subtle show, like there were the occasional angry, drunk white guy, you know, like literally just yelling, go back to the reserve. But it's the more subtle stuff, like when he's trying to get a job and he, you know, doesn't get chosen. And even amongst the other people that you would think would be of his general social class, you know, there's a black dude, there's an old guy who also, like, they just haven't been able to get work. But even they are like, hey, what are you worried about? You can go back to the reserve and we can't. Like, he doesn't even fit in there.
No, he doesn't fit in there. There you've got an old alcoholic who nobody's ever going to hire. He's a white guy, but nobody's ever going to hire him. He's right down the lower rung of the ladder too. You've got the black guy who doesn't understand that there are Native people who are not tied into reserves and can't go back to the reserve. So really, he's on the same boat as the Indian fellow, but because he has nowhere to go and he has no options, he feels that he's lower down too, because he believes that the Indian could go to Indian Affairs and get all the benefits that Indian Affairs would be offering, but this guy can't. So they're all just retrobates of society. They don't fit in and nobody will ever take them.
And the one thing that was funny, but not, it wasn't meant to be funny. It was only funny to us because we were talking before we watched it about how the red tape of Canadian TV production is what caused John Vernon to go to America and not to continue with this show, is there was a part where, because the character in this show was, he was just a Joe Smith. He was not tied into any Native stuff, like you were saying. He's just floating around. So after he died, this government dude is like, well, he wasn't Native, like, you know, meaning like Native Affairs is not going to pay for his funeral. But Wojcik was like, what do you mean he's not Native? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, he's obviously Native. And then he says this country's going to hang itself on red tape, you know, at some point. And it is just funny that that is exactly, only a couple of years later, that's exactly what happened to this show, is that the country got caught up in red tape and stopped making it.
Anyway, excellent show. Really, that show has so much depth to it that you could probably watch that 3 or 4 times and keep picking up issues that they were touching on. But it wasn't the prime objective of the show, but there were other issues that they were touching on.
Yeah, I was thinking, I wonder if that could be one reason why it feels like there were a lot of episodes, or that it ran for a long time, or even that you said you've seen it fairly recently, is because if there's this much, you know, meat on the bone, if there's this much stuff going on in every episode, like 20 episodes of a normal TV show doesn't sound like that many, but 20 episodes of a show with as much stuff, like that's
with
as densely packed.
Dealing with 4 or 5 social issues.
Yeah. It's like 20
movies.
You feel
like you were watching 100 of them.
Yeah. There's like so much going on in there. Like, I feel like you could watch that episode again. You know, if we watched it in 4 years from now, you'd probably notice stuff you didn't notice this time. But I was also thinking, if you just remade that right now, the exact same thing, the exact same shot for shot, just do it with new actors and new cameras to make it look like a new show, it could just be a show. Like, it feels kind of ahead of its time, really. I don't know. I feel like such a, like, ooh la la, who I am, guy from the future talking about old TV. But it really did feel sophisticated. It didn't feel like, because, I mean, a lot of the old TV we watch, it's neat to watch it. And it's, like, neat to watch stuff from the past and get a sense of where things were. But it's not that often that you see a show that is, like, still tip-top.
And when I watched the show just a few years ago, when I watched 4 or 5 of these, that was the feeling I got. This was a show that, although made in the 60s and dealing with 60s issues, those issues in the 2020s are still there. They're still as vibrant or still as existent. And Wojcik speaks to those issues in 1960. He could speak to it in 2020. And that's kind of sad when you think that, what is that, 50, 60 years have gone by? Almost 60 years. And yet society is still dealing with this stuff.
Yeah, that episode in particular, I mean, it's obviously the only one I've seen. But yeah, from my awareness of what's going on in Canada, yeah, I feel like you could make that episode exactly like it is. Maybe just put some cell phones in people's hands, just, you know, to fit with the visual style of the times. And yeah, the underlying stuff is all the same. Nothing's changed at all. So yeah, pretty impressive show. But again, because it's so heavy, it's not the kind of thing where I'm like, hot damn, I'm going to go watch the other 19. You know, like, I will watch more at some point, but I feel like I need a breather. You know, I don't want to just like watch another one right now. Actually, if you watched 4 or 5 in a go, that must have been a heck of a day.
Oh, no, I loved it. I loved it. I think when I was watching 4 or 5 in a go, I'd start about 5 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, I'd finish up, and yeah, I could watch more of them. Nice. They're great.